This is the 2019 State House Podcast, brought to you by South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Funding is brought to you in part by SDN Communications, the South Dakota Bar Foundation, and the Center for Western Studies. Here's Kara Hetland with today's top legislative news in Pierre.
One day after state lawmakers send a bill to Governor Kristi Noem stripping permit requirements to carry a concealed pistol, the state Senate rejects a bill to allow concealed carry in the Capitol. But as SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports, the debate over allowing concealed pistols in the Capitol is not over.
Senate Bill 50 removes the state capitol from a list of courthouses where it's a misdemeanor to carry a concealed pistol with a permit. The bill failed by a vote of 10-22. Despite the downvote, Republican State Senator Jim Stalzer has a bill that allows the carrying of a concealed pistol in the Capitol, but only by those with an enhanced permit.
These are people who have had some safety training. They've proved that they can, you know, hit a target. They've had training in use of force, and they've had training in state firearms laws. Otherwise, they're pretty similar, except that under the other one, you must notify Highway Patrol within 24 hours of carrying in the Capitol.
Stalzer says it's the same bill he brought from 2017, which passed through both the House and Senate, but was vetoed by Governor Dennis Dugard. Stalzer says he reintroduced the legislation in the event Senate Bill 50 failed. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Strubinger in Pierre.
A bill headed to the South Dakota House floor establishes a misdemeanor for failing to file birth and death certificates. The aim is to build a case against the fundamentalist church compound in the Black Hills near Pringle. Representative Tim Goodwin is the sponsor of the legislation.
This compound's been in existence since 2005, so if you do your math, it's 2019. We're on 14 years, and there's been plenty of deaths, and I assume somebody's passed away in that time frame. Hopefully it was a legitimate death, but I can't prove that. But to have no birth certificates or death certificates issued in the last 14 years, you know there's something wrong. And so this was just a tiny step to start enforcing this compound or this cult that exists in South Dakota and Custer County.
Goodwin says he hopes the bill aids law enforcement in investigating the compound. The legislation requires any person in charge of a body to notify the county coroner and sheriff within 48 hours of a death. A person would have a year to file a birth certificate. House Bill 1110 moves to the House floor on a 12-1 vote. An attempt to include same-gender sex in the state's definition of adultery has been shot down in the House Judiciary Committee. Current South Dakota law specifies that adultery is an extramarital affair with someone of the opposite sex. House Bill 1107 eliminated gender references so that adultery is an affair with another person outside of marriage. The bill was sent to the 41st legislative day by a 7-6 vote. SDPB's Victoria Wicks has this report.
Representative Tom Pischke says he sponsored the bill after the gender issue was pointed out to him by a former college acquaintance who now practices law.
House Bill 1107 is a simple bill that simply tweaks the definition of adultery that we currently have on the books.
There was very little discussion during the hearing. No one other than Pischke came forward to support the bill, and there were no opponents testifying. Representative Skylar Borglum asked Pischke why he didn't include bestiality or sexual relations with animals in the bill.
I only asked just because from what I've read, it's on the rise, and so I thought if we're going to go all in, we might as well go the entire way.
The committee member who made the motion to stop the bill was Isaac Latterell, who explained his motivation.
I just believe that we should leave the definition the way it is, keep with the traditional historical definition.
As the current law now stands, same-gender married couples can't sue for divorce on the grounds of adultery if the affair also involved a same-gender partner. Representative Timothy Johns, a lawyer and former judge, says divorce law allows other grounds that could be applied in a same-sex marriage.
Most people stipulate to a ground of irreconcilable differences, but you also have many other grounds, including extreme mental cruelty. And so a lot of these things would fall under that rubric. So it's already covered one way or the other.
John says he voted for passage of the bill, recognizing the variety of relationships that exist. He says the bill could be resurrected this year, but he doesn't expect that it will come back before next year. He says he hadn't heard that the bill had to do with same-sex marriage. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks.
The Senate Education Committee furthers a bill that makes homeschool students eligible for the South Dakota Opportunity Scholarship with the same requirements as other students. A 2013 bill opened the scholarship to homeschool students who scored a 28 or better on the ACT, while all other students were eligible with a 24. House Bill 1040 changes the requirement to at least a 24 for all students. Cole Christian is a former homeschool student. He's now a freshman at South Dakota State University. He scored above a 24 on his ACT, but fell short of the higher requirement for homeschoolers. He says the South Dakota Opportunity Scholarship demonstrates high-achieving students are worth the state's investment. He adds he was surprised to see the Board of Regents extend in-state tuition to surrounding states.
It is frustrating to me that students who do not live in South Dakota and have not met the requirements of the Opportunity Scholarship are essentially being awarded a scholarship in the form of reciprocity, which in turn greatly reduces their financial responsibility. On the other hand, high-achieving homeschool students like myself, who are residents of the state and whose parents pay taxes into the system, are not being incentivized to the same degree.
Other proponents of the bill include Tony Van Huysen from Governor Noem's office and Board of Regents Executive Director Paul Barron. There were no opponents to testimonies. The Senate Education Committee votes unanimously to send the bill to the Senate floor. After more than an hour of testimony, the House Health and Human Services Committee sends a bill raising Medicaid reimbursement rates to the Appropriations Committee without a recommendation. House Bill 1060 calls for $8 million out of the state's general funds with a goal to alleviate the financial strain on nursing homes. More than half of the state's nursing home residents are Medicaid eligible, and South Dakota has the lowest Medicaid reimbursement rate in the nation. Supporters include nursing home administrators and other advocates. Mark Daycock is executive director of the South Dakota Healthcare Association. He says three nursing homes have closed in the last couple years, and two more are scheduled to close by the end of this week. He says insufficient Medicaid funding is the primary reason for the closures.
These closures are preventable tragedies for our communities and for our nursing home residents. The passage of this bill could frankly serve as life-saving CPR.
Proponents also note the economic benefit of nursing homes, which often make up a large portion of the workforce in rural communities. Laura Williams with the Bureau of Finance and Management offers the only opposing testimony. She says Governor Noem proposes a more well-rounded solution between a 5% total increase to nursing homes and nearly $6 million in grants.
In total, that's $10 million in general funds dedicated to nursing homes and assisted living facilities within the governor's proposed budget, as well as matching federal funds.
Williams also says a one-time allotment will not solve the problem. The bill's sponsor, Representative Stephen McCleary, says his bill does not call for a one-time allotment. He says the $8 million is intended as an ongoing contribution. Representative Tim Rounds moves to refer the bill to the Appropriations Committee without a recommendation. He says the issue deserves to be heard, but the bill could be easier to pass through the General Appropriations Bill rather than on its own. That motion passes unanimously. South Dakota lawmakers have approved the first of several potential bills that would allow people to carry a concealed pistol without requiring a permit. That measure is now waiting for action from Governor Kristi Noem. It's part of a multi-year effort by some lawmakers aligned with the gun lobby. But this version of the bill does not have the support of the state's law enforcement. SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports.
The bill is one of the first to reach Governor Noem's desk this session. It's almost identical to a 2017 bill which passed through the legislature, but failed when lawmakers could not override a veto from Governor Dennis Dugard. Republican Representative Lee Qualm is the majority leader and the prime sponsor of Senate Bill 47 in the House. He says this is a big deal for South Dakotans.
And everybody has the right to defend themselves, no matter what. And I'm firmly convinced, as I said on the floor, that a good guy with a gun will beat a bad guy with a gun any day, and it's a deterrent. I firmly believe it's a deterrent to crime more than it adds to crime. It's a deterrent because then the bad guy has no idea who's carrying it, and I think that's good.
State lawmakers passed the bill through the House and Senate in just 7 legislative days. Shannon Hoime is a chapter leader with Moms Demand Action South Dakota. Hoime says while they support the Second Amendment and gun rights, the permitting process to carry a concealed pistol should be an important part of the law.
Laws are meant to deter people, and they do deter people in some instances. I just really think that it's an important step in the process of keeping our communities safer.
A recent poll by SurveyUSA shows more than 60% of South Dakotans want to keep the permit requirement. Right now, county sheriffs must approve concealed carry permit applications, which requires a background and online records check. Current South Dakota concealed carry permits are valid for 5 years and cost $10. There are just over 107,000 active permits in the state as of November of last year. The prime sponsor of the bill in the Senate is State Senator Brock Greenfield. He's confident Governor Noem will approve the legislation.
So I think we're all optimistic that if we get something to her desk, we will meet with a better than 50-50 chance of it getting signed.
However, Governor Noem hasn't committed to signing this version of concealed carry legislation yet. She says her support will depend on the language of the bill. Noem says she supports the principle of constitutional carry.
I've talked extensively about that, so we will look at specific language in each of these bills and see where the support is. I've also talked extensively about the fact that it's important to me that we consult with law enforcement officers and that we have them at the table for this discussion because their role is incredibly important with making sure that we're protecting people while protecting people's rights.
State law enforcement leaders do not support the bill before the governor. The South Dakota Sheriff's Association, Police Chiefs Association, and State's Attorneys Association all oppose it. Minnehaha County denies roughly 3% of concealed carry permit applicants each year. Sheriff Mike Milstead says that's about 125 denials annually. With no residency requirement, Milstead says this bill would allow anyone from anywhere in the country to carry a concealed pistol in the state.
It basically opens up for anyone in the U.S. who would travel to South Dakota to be able to then carry concealed in our state, even if they don't have that ability in their own state.
Milstead says he and other law enforcement officials worry about allowing motorcycle gang members to carry a concealed pistol when they come to the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. He says the Sheriff's Association also must focus on other potential public safety threats.
We also have the very real potential of pipeline protests coming up in the near future, in the next year or two. And imagine what went on in North Dakota if out-of-staters were able to come in carrying concealed weapon in a situation like they had in North Dakota with their pipeline protests, which we hope don't happen. But certainly, again, we have to realize what could happen.
Milstead favors another version of concealed carry legislation. One House bill would allow permitless concealed carry, but would require that person be a South Dakota resident. State law requires each bill receive a hearing in committee. House Republican leaders say they'll at least have discussions about residency requirements for now. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Strubinger in Pierre.
You can keep up with the top legislative news every day by listening to the 2019 State House Podcast. For additional programming and news, listen to us online at sdpb.org. Be sure to download the free sd.net app on your mobile device for committee meetings, floor sessions, agendas, and more during this year's legislative session. Be sure to also connect with us on social media by liking SDPB News on Facebook and by following at SDPB News on Twitter. Funding is provided in part by SDN Communications, the South Dakota Bar Foundation, and the Center for Western Studies. This has been a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.